All right, Alice, it's time for the legislative update. Alice Alvey here, Vice President of Partner Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Amazing company, doing well, growing with the legislative update. Alice, good to have you here with your Yeti microphone.
All right, I guess I'm not going to live that down. So hopefully all of you have
it,
a good visual of that.
We do.
Just like Dave's going to have to wear his pilot's headset from now
yes,
on
he is.
With his
Yes,
pink
he is.
hat. Okay.
With his pink hat and his aviator glasses, yes.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the State of the Union address, which is along the same theme as what you all were mentioning. There were some legislative things that would have to be implemented for the things that the White House mentioned would be housing related. So when I was looking at the list, and others have broken this down too, there's the legislative bucket, and then there's the regulatory bucket that they talked about. Anything, all those items about contributing money, for starters, where's the money coming from?
Coming from.
You have to, all those programs take funding. And one of them in particular that was brought up, the $25,000 down payment assistance for first generation home buyers. We've talked about that on this show. So that bill was out there in 2021. It went nowhere because there was no money then. There isn't going to be any magic money now to get this thing through. Not to mention when the bill that was already published back then. So the new one now is H.R. 4231, but this is a reintroduction of something that was back in the previous congressional session. And how do you define a document, a first generation home buyer? How do you have enough money in any of these programs to really make a difference? And so for me, when I was looking at this list, these are just little drips of water in what the real problem is. And Dave, you said it earlier, which is we have to figure out the housing supply shortage. They're just, that's the issue. To really untangle housing, going, it takes big initiatives, big solutions, not little drip pieces that we know are never going to get through for funding anyway. Yeah. Another thing I did want to talk about on this show was the title waiver pilot that was mentioned. This too is just a small measure. It's not really going to be something that becomes a big, massive waiving of title insurance. We all know that there's definitely value in the title policy for the mortgage lenders themselves. I can't imagine not having that coverage for the rare times I do need it. It's something that we need. But again, just small drops in the bucket, not really addressing the big issues. I didn't know if anyone wanted to comment on that before I move on.
On the title insurance issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On any of it, on those two issues, yeah.
We're making the best loans we've made in 30 years. We go back and research title, I guess 30 or 60 years is what the title research does. We reinsure the same property over and over again for the same full amount every time, whether it's a purchase. And I get it, you got to go in and see if they've built anything. But if you've put something over a property line, generally, what do they do? 99.9% of the time, they insure over it every time. My driveway's a little over the bass, move this, a fence, whatever it is. It's no big deal. But yet, I think the title companies just filed for a rate increase. And so that's the biggest issue or the biggest cost on the HUD 1 being an old school or still calling it a HUD 1. So I think it's something that the industry, along with LO Comp, needs to look at.
Yep.
That's a great point. And it's the CD, right? For those of you who are wondering what he's talking about with the HUD 1. It's the closing disclosure. But oh, I think that's a great point. So I like the coverage aspect is what I was referencing. But to your point, David, I think that it is a big cost out there. And so did you want to add something, Dave, before I move on?
They build it.
So I think, Dave, you hit on the key point in there to me, which is for the title insurance, which I'm looking at a CD right now, is the largest of the costs, is filed as in rates are set, as in, I don't know, maybe too much government influence. Why is title insurance not a sliding cost scale based on the level of protection that the consumer feels like they need? Why is it looked at as an on-off switch when everybody has different risk tolerances?
I'll throw something else out there since we're on this. Why did the title insurance industry lobby against the attorney opinion letter? hard, even though Fannie accepted why they do that, because it costs less and because it did basically the same thing. Now, are there tweaks and assurances and things that needed to be added to it? Of course. But it's, I've said this since I was PAC chairman at MBA 2004, 2006. It's never about the money, Bill. It's always about the money. So
it's never about the money, but it's about the money.
It's about
well
the money.
Said. Yeah. All right, Alice, continue
All
on
right.
there. Got so much.
Last but not least for today, I did want to at least point out the VA interest rate reduction refinance, middle of the road, like sub-proposed rule that came back out. I thought this was so interesting. It's just a side note that, you know, so for those of you who aren't familiar with this, VA had a proposal out there a while ago. We all commented on, and they've just come back with a supplemental proposal to say, hey, wait a minute, we want to clarify something. The net tangible benefit requirement that we have, and for those of you who aren't familiar with it, just very briefly, it's basically you take the cost of the VA loan, and then as a lender, I also show the customer the savings per month and the P&I. And then I say, okay, if you were going to save $50 a month in principal and interest, then, and you were going to spend a couple thousand dollars to get this loan, how many months does it take you to recover that cost? So we call that the recoupment. And VA says they have to recoup that cost in 36 months. For decades, the math is the math. It's just math, right? It's 36 months saving $50 and this number over here. And so I'm reading the VA summary. I'm going, who's doing the math? VA has to close a loophole because there's people out there who found a way to make fuzzy math. And apparently there were lenders who were including the 2-month window between note date and payment date as part of the net tangible benefit calculation. So my note to all of you for this supplemental proposed rule is comments are due by, I believe it's May 6th. And it's nice to comment if you want to say, hey, I think we could just keep things. I like the revision because it clarifies things. And for those of you who are doing it the right way in the same old way, then you're fine. There's no changes. But for those companies who may have been doing some fuzzy math and trying to make the net tangible benefit look better than it really was by saying, oh, they didn't have to make these two payments, so I'm going to put that over here on this side of the math equation and make it count that as a net tangible benefit for the customer. So that's going to go away, it looks like, as VA cleans this up to use first payment date as opposed to note date. So that's my 2 cents on that one, Dave. Good. I thought it was just interesting going, oh, duh, there's people messing with the policy, so they got to clean it up.
They got to surprise.
It just
surprise.
Goes with rules are there for the people who are breaking them already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
so true.
That's my fun spot on that. Back to
good,
you.
Good job. Appreciate it so much, Alice. Be sure to say hi to Bill and the team there at Union Home. What a great group.